Bibles, turn with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah 14 has a little bit to say about the kingdom that is set up and how that certain things are going to be, and then gives us a view of what's going to take place, and then some things even in the past. Chapter 14 is sometimes if not careful, you get lost in where you are as far as time frame. But if we read it carefully, and we're not going to read all of it, but all of it would be good to read. I want to read beginning in verse number 4. Verse 1, 2, and 3 gives us some things about the kingdom, how that the Lord's going to have mercy on Jacob, and that just simply means he's going to have mercy on Israel. And he has chosen Israel, and those are going to be cleaved to the house of Jacob in verse number 1. But in let's look at verse 3. It shall come to pass in the day that the Lord will give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from thy hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased and the golden city ceased, and the Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger is persecuted, and none hindereth. And notice verse number 7, the whole earth is at rest. That's a tremendous few words there. The whole earth is at rest. And there's coming a day when the earth will be at peace, will be at rest, and says and is quiet. Certainly not that way tonight. It's not at peace. It's not quiet. You turn on the news newscast, you read the papers, the whole world is in an upheaval and an uproar. But there's a day coming when the kingdom is set up. It will be at peace and it will be quiet. And it says, they break forth unto singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon saying, since thou art laid down, no fellow has come up against us. Now notice verse 9. Hail from beneath is moved for thee, to meet thee at thy coming. Now, this is a prophetic portion of Isaiah 14, and it's also a statement concerning the king of Babylon. He says, hail hath from beneath is moved to meet thee at thy coming. It stirred up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones, and all the kings of the nation, all they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and at the noise of thy vows, and the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Now here we find, we'll go from a prophetic statement to a statement of things that had taken place in the past, and yet also is prophetic. It says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Now this goes back many, many years, as Lucifer being that created being that was in heaven and found himself to be prideful and is fallen from heaven. And here Isaiah says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will set also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that hath made the earth to tremble and did shake the kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? Now here we find in verses 12 through 17, it is a prophetic statement along with a historical statement. Some things that happened in history, and then some things that's going to take place in the future. And then also, right in the midst of that, you have statements concerning the king of Babylon That was during the time of Isaiah. So it's a very complicated portion of Scripture. You have to look at it from all three different avenues or angles. And you'll notice here that he's talking about Lucifer, son of the morning. He looked at himself and thought that he was something above even God. And he gives us here those I wills. He says, I will ascend, I will exalt, I will set, I will ascend, and I will be like the Most High. So Lucifer, who later became known as the devil or Satan, there in eternity past, there was a time that he felt himself to be more strong and felt himself that he would put himself up as God. And also, it is a reference to the king of Babylon. I love verse number 15 because of what it says concerning king of Babylon, but also what it means in prophecy of what it means about Lucifer. Notice it says, "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." And verse 16 says, "And they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee, and consider thee, saying," notice what they say, "Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, and did shake kingdoms, made the world a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof? Is he really the one that had all that power?" You see, the Scripture tells us and gives us many details about this place called hell. And he tells us here that hell is moved from beneath, and it's coming up to meet this king of Babylon, and hell is there very prevalent. First time you read the word hell in the Scripture, you'll find it in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 32. And that's the first time you'll find it. Last time you find the place called hell that's mentioned in the Scriptures in Revelation chapter 20. And so we find here that from all the way from the beginning to the end, the Bible has much to say about this place called hell and the leader of hell. And by the way, the devil is not omnipresent. He's not everywhere at the same time. We sometimes think the devil makes us do certain things, but sometimes it's not him at all. It's his workers. It's his cohorts. It's those fallen angels. Some of those are reserved in the darkness of the grave. Some of those are let loose as the demons of this world. And by the way, demons are real. Demonology is a study of demons, and the Scriptures is filled with demon activity that warns us and tells us that there is a real place. There are real beings. They're not a figment of imagination. They're not just a force. The devil's more than a force. He's a person. Just like the Holy Spirit is not just a force. He's a person. And they are at odds against each other, and the battle rages between good and evil. Really, I guess we ought to say it rages between righteousness and unrighteousness. And so here we find in Isaiah 14 a very vivid picture of Lucifer and what he thought and what he did and what he said, and then the end result of that. And when it's all said and done, when Lucifer is compared to the power of God, all those that followed after him are going to say, like in verse number 16, "They shall see thee, shall narrowly look upon thee and consider, is this the man? Is this really the one that caused all the havoc? No more power than he has." And of course, in Isaiah 14, we see the destruction. We see the destruction of the devil and his forces. And when all his forces look upon him and his weakness, the Bible says they're going to look narrowly upon him. That just simply means they're going to glance at him. He's not worthy to be looked upon. He's not worthy to be gazed upon. They're just narrowly going to look upon him, and they're going to think in their mind, is he really the one that caused all the havoc? The weakness of the devil, and where he is here in Isaiah 14, his strength is gone, his power is gone, and those that followed after him, the Bible says, is this the man that made the earth to tremble? Is he really the force? Is he really the one that caused all the havoc? He shook the kingdoms, and he made the world a wilderness and destroyed the cities and would not open the prisons where the prisoners could be escaped and be gone. Is this really him? Well, it is really him. And when compared to the power of God, he's nothing. And I'm so glad tonight, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And so when the when it all comes down to the end results and the end things, we find here that the devil does not have a whole lot of power at all. They say, have you become like us? Are you weak like us? Are you just another personality that caused all the problems? How did that happen? And so he has his people. He has his folks that are following after him. And we hear all the time of folks dying without God. We hear it taking place worldwide. You can just rest assured that all those folks that are dying in the Middle East, most of them probably do know nothing about the Lord. They know nothing about God. And when you hear of all the masses that are being destroyed, no wonder the Scripture says hell hath enlarged itself. Now we find hell is moved from beneath and meets this one that is the instigator of all the problems. And he is there as as one just like them. And the Scripture tells us it's all going to be played out in the process of time. Revelation tells us one day he's going to be set and placed in the bottomless pit, and he's going to be there forever and forever. And so we know the end result. We know the final story, and thank God for that. But until that takes place, we ought to understand there are those that are separated from God that have not understood and never, some of them have never heard, some have heard and never would accept. And I believe maybe the worst part of hell would be separation from God. You see, even on this earth, people that will deny God and people that even would curse God and make fun, they still are under the influence of the Lord. They may not recognize it, they may not admit it, but they're still under the influence, they're still under the blessings of the Creator. He is their Creator. Even though they'd reject Him and lambast against Him. And so they're still under His power and under His influence. But there's a time coming when He says, "Depart from me, I never knew you," that they'll never see Him again. They'll never have that influence. They'll never have that presence once again. I think in the Old Testament, one of the most vivid pictures of a person dying without God and not having the Lord is Cain. When God told him that He was going to banish him and he was cast out, Cain said, my punishment is more than I can bear. And he was going out and he went unto himself and he was alone. And the picture there is a terrible thing. Separation. Separation from God and separation from goodness and separation from good people and righteous people. As much as the ungodly despise the godly, they're still influenced by them. And this world is held together by the goodness of God and the unbelief that they have in their heart. And they do not come to Christ. And so the only thing is awaiting them is a terrible, terrible place. And one day, the one that has made so much havoc and so much trouble and made the earth to tremble and shook kingdoms and destroyed the earth, they're going to be with Him forever and forever because of their unbelief, because of their rejection of the Lord. Can you imagine the agony of hell? The process of dying without God. Even this past week, Brother David Johnson with us and talking about his brother-in-law probably died unsaved. And so it comes before us continually of people that we are acquainted with in one way or another that die without the Lord. And the Bible gives us a very clear picture of the agony. The rich man, when he died, he lifted up his eyes in hell. And he said, "Send Lazarus to dip his finger in water and just to let the drops of water cool my tongue." Because he says, "I am tormented." I looked up that word tormented. Guess what it means? It means tormented. It means troubled. It means problematic. And he says, "I'm tormented in these flames." And the word flame there is a real fire. It's a real flame. There are those that feel like their hell is just the imagination or what we think it is or the bad things of life. That would be good if that was hell for them. But that's not hell. And so there's agonies of hell. There's problems and difficulties of hell. And here Isaiah says, "Thou art fallen from heaven, Lucifer." And as he fell, the Scripture says he took a third part of the angelic host. So it was a strong battle. It was a strong war. He was very influential. He was the He was the probably the highest of the created angels, of the archangels. He was probably the leader of all of the host of heaven. And he rebels against God, and a third part of the angelic host falls with him. And those are his workers. Those are those that are the demons of this world that are out to do his job and his task. Because he cannot be everywhere at the same time. He can't be every place all the time. But he has his workers and he has his influence. And he has those demons working and infiltrating peoples in their lives. And so hell is real. And they die. The people die without the Lord. And I'm sure there are some folks when they die, they're surprised that hell exists because they don't believe in hell. Oh, God wouldn't send anybody to hell. God doesn't send anybody to hell. A person goes to hell of his own volition, his own choice, his own rejection, his own turning away from God. And that's just the result of a man's heart that is wicked and will not follow the direction that God gives. But there's going to be some folks that when they die, they're going to be surprised that they're that hell exists. They're going to be surprised they're there. They're going to think of all the things that they have heard all their life. There are going to be a lot of religious people surprised that there's a hell because standing behind their pulpits are preachers or people that are saying that hell doesn't exist. And standing behind their organizations are those that say hell is just a figment of imagination and it's the bad things of life. And when they get there, they're going to be shocked because they believe their leader. And I'll tell you what, I'd hate to be their leader because he'll suffer more than they. And so, there are folks that are surprised that there is a hell. They're surprised they're there, and then they're surprised at the torments that wait them. Because there are some folks that teach that hell is just, as I said, just the bad things on this life, on this side. And but hell is far more than that. They're going to be surprised that how fast they got there. Doesn't matter how long we live, how quick we go. Doesn't matter what our ages are, no matter how long we live on this side of eternity, when we look back at it, Job says our life is like a weaver's shuttle, back and forth. James says our life is like a vapor. It's here for a moment, passes away. And so as we look back on life, we say, my, hasn't it gone by quickly? The older I get, the more I look and say, where did time go? Where's all the time gone? How come this is? I think of some things maybe that somebody says, how long has it been? And I'll say, oh, 3 or 4 years. And you look it up, it's been 7 or 8 years. It moves on. And one of these days, time will be over for us and we'll be in eternity. There are those that are so surprised they are there and how quick they got there. And there are those that would be surprised that God would even permit them to be tormented. God's a loving God. He would not do that, but they'll be shocked because of the truth of God's Word. There are many, many people that die and go to hell. And we need to realize the one that's leading them one day, he's just going to be like them. He's going to be broken. He's going to be defeated. He's going to have no kingdom. He's going to be laughed at. He's going to be glanced at. Not important enough to really consider. They're just going to narrowly look at him. It's sort of like looking through the lattice. And you just see it for a moment and it's gone. You know, sort of like your head. And you just glance at it. And that's what they say. Is this really him? Is this the one I followed? Is this the one that he's like us? He's done all this havoc upon the earth. And many people die without God. The world's rejected people. We're losing ground very quickly. I doubt very seriously that America has ever been a Christian nation. That's, quote, nobody. It's never been everybody a Christian. But we're losing ground, and we are in the minority now. A few years ago, there was an organization called the Moral Majority. That was very questionable even then. It would be very questionable now because we're not in the majority. Morality is gone. Our ideals, our morality of life and the things that the Scripture teaches us is on the back burner for so many people. And so we're losing ground. And People are rejecting the Word of God, and so therefore they die. They go to a devil's hell. Who are there? What kind of people are there? Well, there's respected people that go to hell. There's good people that go to hell. There's respected people, and the Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end of that is death. And so there are those that go and think they're doing right and think everything's okay. That's why it's so very important we keep the truth of God's Word, because it's not what we think, it's what God says. And so the world's respected people are there. The rich man died. He was very respected. He died, but in hell he lifted up his eyes. Now Lazarus died also, and he went to Abraham's bosom. He went to the side of paradise before Jesus died. He was in Abraham's bosom. He was in the land of the unseen, unseen death. And paradise one day was removed, and now it's called heaven. And so we find that those folks that die, they're some respected people. They're popular. There's powerful people that die and go to hell. There's political people that die and go to hell. There's religious people that die and go to hell. And so hell is no respecter of person, just like death is not. The religious people, Judas was religious. He followed the Lord. Judas had all kind of religion. He followed Christ. He saw the miracles. It is beyond sometimes my understanding why would Judas, seeing all the miracles, doing all the things, why in the world, why would he reject? Why would he deny? Why would he plant that kiss of betrayal upon the Lord? Well, he was religious, and that's all he had. And religion will not take you. Religion will not help you. If anything, religion will discourage. In Matthew 7:21-23, when they stand before the Lord, they said, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name? They're religious. Did we not cast out demons in thy name? They're religious. But they're standing before the Lord at the white throne judgment, and that means they're lost. For you see, there's two judgments. The saved stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we are standing before Him, and He looks at us, and He looks at our works, and He gives us rewards, or He removes rewards from us. But when you get to the white throne judgment, that's the judgment of the lost. And there in Matthew, they are crying, Lord, did we not? And the Lord says, I never knew you. That means they never had a relationship with Christ. They had religion. They had a good life, maybe. And they had a respectable life, maybe. And they're religious, but they're not saved. And they're part of that group that's surprised. They're part of that group that says, didn't we do these things? And they're surprised that they would be without God. Nicodemus was a religious man, but he needed Christ, for the Lord said, you must be born again. Religion was not enough for him. And Nicodemus was a leader of the Jews, and he was a leader of the Pharisees, and he knew the Old Testament. He was a scholar, but yet he didn't know God. He didn't know Christ. Paul was religious, and he went about doing the things that his religion had him to do until he met the Lord on the road to Damascus and changed his life. You see, religion has to be regenerated, has to be changed unto reality. The scribes and the Pharisees, they were religious. They were the top religious people of their day. The scribes were copiers of the Word of God. The Pharisees, they would be called the fundamentalists. They were strict in their interpretation of the Scripture. Now the Sadducees, they were probably the liberals of their day. But all of those folks were religious, but yet they were lost. And that religion does not help you. And so there's a lot of different folks that die without God and goes to hell. Religious, but unrighteous. Religious, sometimes unconcerned. Religious and unprepared. The biggest detriment to the work of the Lord is religion. Most of the problems in our world today are caused by religion. If they just get regenerated, that'd take care of the need. They need the Lord. And so the religious, just regular people. Just people like you and I. People that have just common everyday ideas. But yet they do not know the Lord. That's why Mark 16:15 tells us, go into all the world, preach the gospel. Tell them the story. The story of Jesus. For people without Christ, that die without God, they go to hell. It's not a popular subject, not a popular story. We don't hear much about it today, but that does not change the fact of what the Scripture says. People without God die and go to hell. You can sugarcoat it, you can change it, you can move it around, but that does not change the fact of what happens when that last breath is drawn and the spirit and soul leaves the body. To be absent from the body for the child of God, the Scripture says, to be with the Lord. The rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. Lazarus died, and the angels of the Lord carried him to Abraham's bosom immediately. There's no in-between ground. There's no possibility of praying out and paying out and all the things that the religions of the world try to make you do. And so that's why Paul went from house to house, Acts chapter 20, house to house preaching the gospel. That's why we are to tell people about the Lord. Just regular people without God. Moms, dads, brothers, sisters, children, family, friends, brothers, all. The key to it is without Christ. And so when Isaiah is talking about this one that caused so much havoc, he is causing havoc now. He is destroying lives now. He is chaining people in the depths of despair. He is pulling them down to hell. But one day, he will be seen for what he is. A liar, a deceiver, a mocker. And he'll be seen as that one that, did he really do that? Is he the one that just caused all the trouble? Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms and made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof? Is it really him? Oh yes, it's him. Right now he flaunts his power. He flaunts his abilities. But we know the rest of the story, don't we? We know the end result. We know the end of the Bible. There's a day coming when his day will be over. And they will glance at him and say, surely, he's not the one. And he'll be placed in the depths and chained in the bottomless pit forever and forever and forever. And when you read that in the book of Revelation, you ought to write out beside it, amen. Praise the Lord. That's why John said, even so come, Lord Jesus. You know why John was set on the Isle of Patmos? Because of the word of the Lord. Because of the message he preached. Because of what he believed. And you know who caused him all the trouble? That one that we're going to narrowly look at one day and say, oh, he's not worth it. But he causes trouble now. He causes havoc now. That one that puts thoughts in our minds and words in our mouth and actions in our lives. That one that bothers us so much. He is that one that says, I'm going to be like God. He still has that desire. He still thinks he's going to win the battle. But he's not. If he is cast out of heaven, one day he'll be cast into hell. And that one that has all power, praise the Lord, his name is Jesus. That one that has all power, he's going to set a seal upon that place of fire and torment, and he'll never, never escape again. Maybe a few days coming, but it's coming. And it'll happen just like the Lord said. There's going to be a lot of havoc before that. And we're seeing just the beginning. The Lord said, when you see these things, lift up your heads, your redemption draweth nigh. And He said, these things must come to pass. And so, it's all in the work and the handiwork of God. I like the word that Brother Stevens used in his letter, the providence of God. Now, we used that in our Bible class last year, the providence. It means God's in control. And so, praise the Lord, He is. The devil thinks he is, and he's on a long leash. But one day God's going to jerk it, and it's all going to be over. And we'll say, praise be unto God. Let's stand together tonight.